Well, again, everybody, and welcome to this latest edition of the Trig Podcast of Joy. Today, I want to talk to you about what is the hardest thing for an achiever to realize. What's the biggest struggle that, if you're familiar with the Enneagram 3 type, which is the achiever, which is who I am, what's the hardest thing for us? What do we struggle with the most? By the way, if you would like to take your own Enneagram test, Enneagram means 9, and I think it's an ancient spiritual test, similar to personality, but I think it's deeper than that. So you can go to EnneagramInstitute.com to take the test. Enneagram is with 2 N's. You can just Google it. So for the 3, the achiever, our greatest fear is failure. And I want to talk to you about how that looks, what that looks like for me now, and also what that has looked like for me in the past. And I think most of all, kind of what am I learning in spite of that? And then, as I said, I encourage you to do the same thing. So maybe if you do find out your type, I would love for you to email that to me at trig@davidtrig.com. Or if you are listening to this on YouTube or on Instagram or on Facebook, wherever you're watching this or listening to this, I would love to have you just send me the results at the bottom of the post, wherever you may be. So Enneagram 3, they call us the achievers, and it's such a very clear and accurate definition of who I am. I'm also a Myers-Briggs INFJ, so that's a whole different test. But as far as the 3 and the achiever, I think that the hardest thing for me right now is to not be able to achieve greatness in 3 areas of my life, and I would say primarily in 1. The 3 areas are my fitness goals, number 2 is my educational goals, and then 3rd is my church or my career goals. So let me first start with education. So as an achiever, I need the affirmation, first of the achievement itself, and then second of others because of my achievement or success. So you're kind of getting a sense of what the achiever values, right? The achiever values success. He or she values to be noticed, to be affirmed, to be seen, to be respected because of our accomplishments primarily. Now, underneath that, before I get to education, the vice, as they call it, is worthlessness. And so you can say that this need for achievement is hiding or masking the real struggle, which is to the feeling of worthlessness. And that's a very strong emotion that I definitely feel, and I think most achievers do. Now, when it comes to education, since I can remember, I've always been at the top of my class. And you have to know, I didn't want to just be number 3 or top 10. I wanted to be number 1. Even though I never sought that or wanted the attention, once it began to happen, I loved it. So now, and that same thing happened through elementary, high school, college, all of that. I exceeded all expectations. Well, I can't even say that. I met all my own expectations, won awards left and right, against all odds. Long story. But now, so maybe what? 15 years ago, I started my MDiv, which is a master's degree in divinity, which has always been my, well, I can't say it's always been my dream, but now it is my dream in light of my career path as a pastor. So I did the MDiv, started that, and then we moved, and then I couldn't transfer my unit, so then we moved back. Long story short, I'm now in a different program, in a different school, now 12 years later, almost 50 years of age, and I am yet, yes, it's only 3 more classes, but none of that matters to me. To not be able to have not just 1 master's, but 2 or 3, or a PhD or 2, it kills me. It's the epitome of being an achiever, where I see some people that they're so proud because they have a BA that means nothing to me. And of course, as you can imagine, if I did have two masters, I would want a PhD and two PhDs. I mean, it's never enough. That's the whole idea of an achiever. It's never enough. And even though maybe I'm painting it negatively, I love being an achiever. Everything I have in life is because of being an Enneagram 3. Because I have this endless drive to succeed. And I love it. I love it. I love who I am. I believe God made me this way, and He made you exactly as you are, whatever type or number you are. So in education, I continue to drive myself to be the best. Now, in fitness, the same thing. I've always been a great athlete, a great runner, lifting weights. I was in the best shape of my life at 40 years of age. I have the pictures to prove it. I prided myself in being fit and in looking amazing and getting down to a size 33 of pant size at 40, even though I was at 225, 230 just maybe a year before that, or maybe 2 years. And so I committed to fitness, to eating healthy, just did all the right things for at least, I don't know, 3-4 years. Since then, I've been just as committed, but my knee has been a problem, and my running has been just, I don't run. And it kills me. And so then laziness has set in, and now, I don't know, I'm probably like 210, 215. And it just kills me. It's not even for health. I mean, I'm a pretty healthy guy by the grace of God. But it's about looking amazing. It's about the achievement. It's about the vanity of it all. That's what an Enneagram 3 is about. And I know that about myself. I use it to my advantage. But then sometimes I have to think differently. And so I'll talk about that here in a second. Now, the third part is the church, or my career. And my career, for the most part, has been the church. And so, since I can remember, I have been successful at church. And just because it's church, remember, and you may think, oh, well, you're not supposed to be successful at church. Remember, church is a career. It's a job. It's about leadership. It's about change. It's about doing things at a high level. It's about people showing up and numbers and growth and budgets and performance. I mean, that's how I perceive church on the professional level. Of course, in the spiritual level, it's bigger than that, of course. But I live in the United States. I live in Southern California. Housing is not cheap, and education is not cheap, and nothing is cheap. And obviously, without my wife, I couldn't even make it. But as far as being a pastor, I've always been full-time at churches of 1,000+. That's just been where I excel. The last 10 years, I've been at churches of 100 and less. Some as small as 10, some 40, 50, 70, 20, 30. Many different churches doing many different things. Mostly in leadership, of course, as a top dog or whatever, right? And those have been the most painful years of my life as an achiever. Because to me, it's not about, oh, just being faithful or being kind. It's about success. It's about taking this church of, let's say, 50 to 500 in 2 years. That's what I want. Now, small churches don't do that. That's why they're small churches. They have history and DNA. And even the church that I'm at now, the same thing is happening. And it kills me that I can't on my own just basically force us to become a mega church or a church of 1,000, which would be amazing. So now underneath all of this is, of course, God and His refining of that Enneagram 3. And so I dance between two worlds. The one world, which is the success world, which I want with everything in me. And I believe it is from God. But if I'm not careful, it can defeat me. And it can make me apathetic, angry, upset. And it, of course, goes right to failure. I go to failure like in just a millisecond if I don't reach my goals in a certain amount of time. Everything I do, I see it as a chart. How long, how much effort, what are the results? And even though I hate numbers, as in looking at numbers, meaning like my budget or how much I'm spending on food, I want to see numbers in the pews, the budget growing, people happy, me preaching, and as a result of my preaching, leadership, charisma, and love and care, the church explodes. That's the story I want to tell. I want to write the book. I want to tell the whole world. I want to train other young pastors on how to do what I did. For the glory of God, of course. But as I have been, in my estimation, failing the last 10 years and unable to do what I meant to do, I've had to examine a ton of that stuff, starting with failure and trying to get my footing on something else besides success, even though it's the death. You know how Jesus says you have to die and follow him or carry your cross? This is my thorn in the flesh. It's my ego. It's my pride. Even though I hate calling it pride, but it's my drive, maybe even more than my pride. I'm not a very proud person, but I am an egomaniac. I want to be admired, to be the one who succeeds, to be number one. I'm super competitive, extremely competitive. And I do believe that all of these things are from God. That's how he made me. I'm not painting a picture of some evil man. I don't think this is sin or a fleshly desire. I believe that this is God-given, but it has its downfalls, of course. And that's where, as I said, I've needed to find my identity. I wouldn't say elsewhere. I can't go there. I can't tell you that that's what I'm looking for. But when I hit bottom or when I can't succeed, I need to find my identity elsewhere. Because what normally has happened is that when I hit bottom, I then turn to either workaholism, even more drivenness, or to fear, anxiety, and insecurity. So I start panicking. And this is what the Enneagram talks about, is you have these two arrows. You know, when you're stressed, then the three turns to, I think, is nine, which is basically a sloth, like you check out. And that's what I do. I check out. I'm like, I can't, I don't want to do this. Not that I can't, I just don't want to do that. Or it becomes a thing about fear and security, which is really the heart of the three. Or it's the vice of the three. I would say the heart of the three is to achieve, but the vice or the evil twin is failure. And so when I'm in my weakness, or as Enneagram explains, when I'm at the stress point, I turn either to fear, anxiety, insecurity, failure, or into apathy. When I'm a healthy three, I become an amazing best friend, a loyal friend who's still driven and achieving and kicking butt and taking numbers, but doing it in harmony with others. And I would say at the end of the day, that really is the heart of the three, is to be one. But when I have stupid people around me, or I have negative influences, or I make mistakes, or there are things that I just can't control, then I have two choices: to either drive through it and run people over, or to check out. And I'm trying to learn how to actually move through those moments with more pace, kindness, just differently. So when I get to these times of failure, as I said, I have two choices. One is either to check out or to get insecure, or to be true to who I really am. To look for the things that make me come alive. So if I can't succeed in my fitness, well, I can succeed perhaps in music. And so I'll begin to write music or produce beats or build websites or want to make sure my business is up and running, my side hustle. I turn my attention to something that I can succeed at. The other day, for example, because I haven't been winning a lot lately in what I consider important, I drove 16 hours to pick up my wife's car. I drove to Flagstaff, Arizona from Long Beach and back in one day. I think back on that and I think that is what an achiever does. That's the great part of an achiever. Or maybe someone else would be saying, no way, I'm going to take a week to do that. I'm not even going. For me, it's like, done. I got up at 4, ready by 4:45, out the door at 5:05 a.m., got to Flagstaff, Arizona, which is like 7 hours away, I mean, nonstop, at 12:30, did all this business that I had to do, cars and blah, 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 back on the road at 2, home by 9. No problem. Next day, went to work. That second day, though, in the evening is when I crashed and burned. My back was just killing me. That's what an achiever does, right? Now, when we're unhealthy, as I said, that's when this whole issue of failure wants to take over. So what do I do when I'm in this place of failure? Well, many things. Work out, talk to my wife. That I would say that's probably the biggest thing I do. I'm learning, I can't say that I do this, I'm learning to talk to God about it, because for many reasons, I feel like God is expecting me to be a success. That he's that parent, or I don't know, that tyrant maybe, that will only love me if I succeed, if I get straight A's, because I expect that of myself, therefore I superimpose that expectation on him. He must expect that of me as well. And so I don't often go to God when I'm failing. I will go to self-pity, anxiety, fear, insecurity, or over-talking, or my addictions, or the things that I just do to kind of ignore the problem. What I'm trying to do here and there, hit and miss, is to talk to God and to give him my failure and to trust him. To trust him for the timing of my, I was going to say of my success, but I would say if I'm God, I would want me to say to trust him just to trust him. To leave the results up to God, as people say, which is the hardest thing for an Enneagram 3 achiever. I'm not leaving the results up to anybody, because if I leave the results up to you, what if you don't do it right and then I feel like a failure again? So that's what happens to every type of the 9 in the Enneagram. We all have this thing that we fear, as well as this value that we have. So it's an interesting place to be. I find myself in this place where I really want to grow. Not in achieving more. I feel like I'm at the top of my game. I mean, sure, I can learn a few more things, of course, but I'm a voracious learner, so I'm not afraid of the capacity I have to achieve. What I do fear is my capacity to not achieve and still have it be well with my soul, as the hymn says. And the way I'm going to get there is only not by achieving, but by trusting. Trusting implicitly. Not trusting God for my success or for the timing of when my church is going to blow up and be a mega church. No, that's not what I'm trusting God for. Or when is he going to provide me with a perfect opportunity so I can do my thing? No, that's not what I'm trusting him for. All that could be. But what I need to trust him for is just my very essence of who I am as a human being. Things that are hard for me, such as to know that I'm loved, that I'm a child of God, that I'm beloved, all the Mark 2 beautiful stories when Jesus was baptized, things that I have cried over, to know that my mom and my father, who's now in heaven with Jesus, loves me implicitly, that my grandmother loves me even if I don't get straight A's, which of course I always did, that I'm worthwhile, but I can't tell you that to go there is even that attractive to me. I want my worth to be based on my accomplishments. I mean, that's what I want. But because for these last 10 years, I haven't been able to do that, I'm having to learn how to do things differently. And so I encourage you to take the test. Part of this podcast, I guess, was self-medicating, self-therapeutic. Second is to, if you are an Enneagram 3, an achiever, if you identify with that kind of, what do they call us, the game show host or the charmer or the professional, then maybe you can relate to my journey and you can say, oh my goodness, I'm exactly the same. And then third, if you're not a three, maybe for you to take the test, if you're into tests, to go to EnneagramInstitute.com, take the test, and then let me know what you are, and then maybe just tell me, what are your lessons? Where have you seen your virtues, your vices, your ups and downs? How are you growing? How are you becoming healthier? When have you found yourself to be unhealthy? I think, in conclusion, I will always want to achieve. That is how God made me. And achievers are needed in this world. We are needed. We are the leaders, the CEOs, the lives of the party. We need people around us to achieve, and I'm thankful to be one of them. But I also know that these seasons, these long seasons, these 10 years of very little achievement in the things that matter to me, such primarily, as I said, school, fitness, and career, I know that these times are here for a reason. I have no idea what that reason is, but I have a hunch that they deal with me trusting in God more. I know that that's the point. And as I go to this brand new planet called trust, wish me luck. I have no idea what to expect. I have never been there. I don't really want to go there, but I know that God has brought me here for a reason. And I know that as for you, when we trust God with that one thing that we hold dear, hold on to the most, that God only multiplies the blessing in us, in and through us. And that really is my desire and my hope. I hope and I pray that this podcast will be a place to process this thing, to process my ups and downs with being an achiever in an underachieving career situation, fitness, as well as my education goals, and that maybe as I walk through this journey of a underwhelming achiever, just right now, I have to throw that in there, that you can learn also a little bit about your own journey, no matter what type you are. My prayer for you today, which is a prayer for myself, is that we would sink deeper into trusting God, into trusting Jesus in the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit, so that we can truly become the men and women that we are supposed to be for the sake of the world.